1 Samuel chapter 30, verse number 11. And in chapter 28, Saul seeks counsel from a witch. He gets scared, Samuel dies and tries to contact the dead. Nobody comes back from the dead. There's no such thing as a seance. I talk to Uncle So-and-so or Grandpa. No, the only people that talk in seances or things like that are demons. Jesus plainly said, when someone dies, no one comes back. So the people that they're speaking to are demons. That's 1 Samuel 28. Saul talks to a demon, a witch, and the God says that's why he kills Saul, because Saul didn't seek counsel of the Lord. In chapter 29, David leaves the camp of the Philistines because Saul is seeking to kill him at that time. And if you're there in 1 Samuel 30, verses 1 through 3 tell us the fix David has. Look at verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And then watch. And had taken the women captives. Verse number 2. And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. So David comes back to Ziklag. He and all of his men, they're tired, and their wives are gone. Their families have been taken. And then, verse number 6 says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So David has a problem. He comes back and all the men's wives have been taken, all the children. And now they're like, ah, and I mean, David is distressed. Our families have been taken. We're serving God and this happens. David, it's your fault. And it says they all talk about stoning David. David encourages himself in the Lord. Goes to God, prays, said, Lord, shall I recover this stuff? And God says, if you'll pursue after the Amalekites, you'll get everything back. Fully, you'll overtake them. And God says, I'll restore. Those are the verses we read down in 11 through 18. In their pursuit, while they go after, start after these Amalekites, God allows David to find a slave that got sick and has been at this place 3 days and hasn't eaten or drunk anything, any water. They use the servant to overtake and destroy the Amalekites' army as they were drinking and partying because of all that they had stolen. David asks this Egyptian in verse 13, and this is my text verse, and David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? That question there, to whom, who do you belong to? The name of the sermon this morning is, who do you belong to? Who do you belong to? If I learn, first of all, from this text, David didn't ask the question, who are you? He said, who do you belong to? Because you can tell a lot about the leader by the follower. You can tell a lot. Tell me who you belong to, and that'll tell me who you are. That'll tell me who you are. You're affected by the testimony of family, children, and friends. If a child shows bad character or a lack of respect, or if they're just plain mean. A bus kid used to walk up to adults in the church, this wasn't here, but a long time ago in a church where I was at, he'd walk up to adults and they go, oh, look at the kid. And he'd kick them right in the shin. And they go, oh, he'd go, hurts, doesn't it? That's a mean kid. That's a mean kid. Well, a kid's not going to do that too much to where you're not going to finally go, who's your daddy? Who's your dad? Who's your mom? Whose kid are you? You say that's not bad. That's not a bad question, because doesn't Proverbs 20 verse 11 say even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right? Proverbs 29:15 says the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. When the children are small, their character and discipline are a reflection of their parents. Now, I said when they're small, because I know we've watched children make mistakes when they get older that don't reflect on their parents. They do things that they weren't raised to do. But when they're small, their character and their discipline is a reflection of the parents. It is a reflection of the parents. You say, why? Because they're the ones training them. When biblical correction is not used, I have always found as a pastor, screaming and yelling are usually substituted. In a home where children aren't spanked, they're yelled at. And I have found that true in 99% of the time, and that's what's sad. Listen closely. It depends on how self-indulgent, self-serving, and lazy the parents are. But if the parents are too fond of themselves, they don't want to take the time to properly correct the child, and then verbal and sometimes physical abuse is substituted for biblical correction. God says, spare the rod and spoil the child, right? In other words, and if you spare the rod, you'll spoil the child. God doesn't say that. That's an old saying. But God says, don't spare the rod. It says, if you love the child, you correct them. If you don't want to take time for the child, you don't correct them. They're a hassle. And that's why we said self-indulgent, selfish parents don't spank their kids properly. And a happy child is a spanked child. Generally, you can read a man's character in his boy's face, in his conduct, and in his conversation. David asked the question, who do you belong to? Because the character of the leader is seen in the follower. This is true of children, and it's true of church members. I'm just working my way to the points here. Just hang on just for a second. Any one member in the church can give a bad name to the rest. Having a good or bad testimony is nowadays downplayed, and it's thought not very important because people say, well, you aren't supposed to judge. But it is true, though. One person in our church can give our whole church a bad name in the community. If you're on a job and you steal, they find out what church you go to, they'll think everybody in the church is like you. This opposite is true, too, right? One person in our church can also give our church a good name, right? If you're kind and you think of others and you're a servant and you help, then they think, wow, what church do you go to? Well, then is everybody in your church like you, right? So one person in our church can give our whole church a bad name, and one person in our church can give our church a good name, right? Right? And people say, well, that's not fair. But that's the way it works. That's the way it works. Did you know this? This drives home the statement. Think with me just a little bit this morning. You never sin by yourself. Well, my sin just affects me. That's a lie from the devil. Your sin affects other people too. We'd like to think, now that would be easy. Well, no, I sin and my sin just affects me. That's a very selfish thought, and it's untrue. It's very untrue. Nobody in here, myself included, none of us sin all by ourselves. Every preacher is labeled by the sins of the people. I'm honored to be your pastor. I pray for you. I'll bear your flaws and your weaknesses and your sins before the Lord. But I know if you don't act right in public and people find out what church you go to, they automatically think, where'd you learn that from, your pastor? I had somebody call here last year. What's your name? I'm not going to give my name, but you need to know that one of your church members is a horrible person, and they just constantly blah, 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 and it went on. And I said, well, ma'am, none of our church people are perfect. Well, of course we know that, but this one is really bad. Who was the first person she called? And she wouldn't give me her name, and she never told me who it was. Thank you for the information, ma'am. I'll never forget the phone call. All I'm telling you is this. Pete, when your testimony in the community is a reflection of the church you go to. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 13, David said, to whom belongest thou? Who do you belong to? Our text has a question this morning for everybody in here. Now, I want to make it personal. I've applied it to children. I've applied it to church members. But now let me apply this question to you. Who do you belong to? Who do you belong to? In 1 Corinthians, if you've placed your faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ for your sins on Calvary and in His precious blood, God says, you belong to Christ. That's why we just sang the song, now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. We just sang that song. Wonderful truth in it. But do you let it affect your life? You see, God says in 1 Corinthians 6, just listen to me just for a little bit. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Psalm 100 verse 3 says this, know ye not that the Lord, He is God, it is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Romans 14 says this, none of us live to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. That's Romans 14. All I'm trying to drive home is many places in the Bible, God says, if you're saved, you belong to God. You don't belong to you. You're not your own, and that's not how we're supposed to think. If you're not saved, now let me go to the other side. If you're not saved, you're not fatherless or an orphan. There's no such thing as someone on this earth who is unowned. There are some very disturbing titles for people that are lost. Jesus said in John chapter 8, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. In John 8:44, Jesus said, listen, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Listen to these verses real quick. Matthew 13 says, 38, Jesus calls lost if you're not saved. He didn't say if you're a member of a gang, if you're a biker, if you're a mass murderer, if you're a serial killer, or if you're a Democrat. He didn't say if you're a vile person. He said if you are lost. And see, that's what we think. Well, I'm not a child of the devil. When I'm soul winning, I don't tell lost people, now listen, you little child of the devil, you need to... They don't think they're that bad. They know they're not perfect, and they know they've sinned, but they don't think they're that bad, a child of hell. In Matthew 13:38, Jesus gives, he says this, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, and the tares are the children of the wicked one. Matthew 23:15 says, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. That's the title of a lost person, a child of hell. Acts 13:10, Paul said, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness. In Ephesians 2:1, he said, you're dead in trespasses and sins. And in Ephesians 2:3, it says, I'll just read the verse, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And listen, and we're by nature the children of wrath. That's a title of a lost person. Well, no, I'm not that bad. No, you don't understand. Child of hell, child of disobedience, child of the devil, child of... You have a father. Everybody on the face of the earth has a spiritual father. If you're saved, God is your father and you belong to Christ. And if you're lost, God says you belong to Satan. You belong to Satan. Everyone is either a child of God under his banner to serve him and fight his battles, or they're a child of the devil enrolled to do evil and perish in their sins. This is a question. To whom belongest thou? Who do you belong to? This is a question for every person. This is also a question that can be answered. It's not so spiritual that you have to wait to get to heaven to figure it out. You belong to one owner or one father this morning. Because of our humanistic society, people would rather deify themselves and be their own God and not think about eternity and facing Almighty God. You either belong to God or you belong to His enemy. There's no neutral intermediate state that you can exist in between. Look, nobody can walk on both sides of the road unless you're drunk. And then you only think you are. You understand? You think you're walking on both sides. And everybody else laughs at you while you make a fool of yourself. Right? But you can't walk on both sides of the road. Nobody can. Eternity hangs on this question. Who do you belong to? If you belong to Christ, then crowns of glory and heavenly harmony and eternal peace belongs to you. But if you're not Christ, then groans, screams, despair, and burning wrath are your everlasting doom. If you aren't Christ, you'll burn and suffer forever in the lake of fire. If you've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus, listen, this morning, you know it. If you don't know of a time and a place where you were bought or redeemed with the blood of Christ, you aren't. I talked with a man 2 weeks ago. He said, oh, I've always been saved. I said, no, you haven't always been saved. Nobody's always saved. Oh, but I've always been saved my whole life. I said, no, you haven't. You've always been a sinner. You've always been born dead in trespasses and sins, but you haven't always been saved and on your way to heaven. There has to be a time and a place where you placed your faith in Christ, and if you don't know where it is, I didn't say you have to have a specific date, but you do know where you were. If you got saved, you do know where you were. You do know what time of the year it was. Was there snow on the ground or was it summer? Well, I don't know. It slowly happened over a five-year period. No, it didn't either. It was a decision you made. And if you're saved, you may not have the exact date and time of day, but you do know when it happened. You do know when it happened. And that's why I make this statement. If you don't know when it happened, then you're not. You understand? Well, somebody told me that I did when I was real small. So they made the decision for you. Then I'll say it again. It's because I love you and I care about you. But if you don't know where you were when you got saved, the day you trusted Christ, then you're not. You have to know the time and the place. And I'm not talking about a physical date, but you have to know it was a decision you made. It was a decision you made, if you made it. God says in His Word that when you're saved, you know it. Isaiah 32, verse 17 says, "The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." I love that verse. That means the effect of you getting saved is peace and assurance. God says, if you're saved, you know it. He's the one that lets you know it. His Spirit witnesses with your spirit that you're His child. There may be times when you doubt it, but there's also times that you know that you're a new creature in Christ. Everybody here was born once. Everybody here. If I asked you, everybody here was born once. But if I asked you, where were you born the first time? And you said, oh, I was born here. I was born here. I was born in Wellington, Kansas. But my first birth doesn't matter. My first birth is not near as important as my second birth. Not near as important. Every man who's only born once will have to die twice. And the man who's born twice will only have to die once. And to be born twice is to escape the second death. But to be born once is to fall into the second death forever. That's why your first birth doesn't matter. Amen? I want you to have a birthday and everything else, but do you celebrate your spiritual birthday? It's more important than your physical birthday. If you aren't sure you're a child of God, if you don't know if you're going to heaven or not, you'll never have the joy until you get saved and have the peace of God that you're His child. 1 Samuel 30, verse 13. David said unto him, "To whom belongest thou?" Who do you belong to? Your answer just doesn't affect your eternity. Did you know it affects now? Please take your Bible and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll come back to 1 Samuel 30, but go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in the New Testament. Who do you belong to? It is most important for your eternity. Yes, it will. How you answer that question will affect your eternity. But how you answer that question should affect now also. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse number 14. "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." Look at verse 15. "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again." Yes, who you belong to will affect your eternity, but it's also supposed to affect how you live now. You don't belong to you. You're not supposed to be living your life for yourself. We're all supposed to be living our life for Him that died for us. That's what it says, right? "That they which henceforth live should not live to themselves." Well, it's my life and nobody tells me what to do and I do what I want to do. Who do you belong to? Who do you belong to? It should affect your life now. Listen closely. If you're saved, you were saved to serve the Lord. Now, because our God doesn't require you to serve Him to be saved, and aren't you glad? Aren't you glad it's free? Amen? Aren't you glad all you have to do is trust Him to get saved? You don't have to serve Him to get saved. Because you don't have to serve Him to be saved, here's the scary part. You can be saved and serve the devil because you don't have to serve Him to be saved. If you want, as a Christian, you can be a Christian that's saved and on your way to heaven and living in the flesh and not living for God. Take your Bible, please, and go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. So because you don't have to serve God to be saved, I'm so glad it's free. I'm so glad all you have to do is place your faith in Christ. Here's the other side of that. Satan's a deceiver. And if he can get you thinking you're saved by your works, then you can serve God and go to hell. I wish you'd think about it. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Look at verse number 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, I have that verse tied with John 6:40, because Jesus said, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son may believe on him and have everlasting life. Somebody said, see, you're saved by doing the will of God. Doing the will of God is getting saved. Amen? So if you get confused with that, in your Bible, write John 6:40 right there next to that verse. Now let's talk about this just for a second. What's scary about this is the verse 22, I wish you had underlined in your Bible one word, and then think about it. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? It doesn't say a few people. It doesn't say some. It says many on that day are going to stand before God thinking they were saved. And they're going to go, we preached. It says here, we prophesied in thy name. We preached. I can't help but think they went soul winning. You say, you can't go soul winning unless you're saved. Judas did and came back with reports of people saved. But Judas, we know, is in hell, right? Look at the next phrase. And in thy name have cast out devils. So it says many people standing before the Lord that day are going to say, we went soul winning, maybe preached. There it says cast out devils. I've seen two demons cast out in my life. When it happens, it's scary. I've never personally cast out demons. I've seen people that were demon possessed, and I knew they were. But I've only seen demons exercised out of somebody in the name of Jesus Christ by another person. I've only seen that happen two separate times in my life. I've never cast out demons. These people here, they're saying, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. I would call that pretty spiritual, wouldn't you? And it says, and this is what it's made. It doesn't say a few. It doesn't say some. It says many, many people. I see multitudes going, oh, but I thought I was saved. I did this and I did this. Look at the last phrase. It says, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Lord, we help people. We feed the poor. We visited people in the hospital. We helped every person. Many. Lord, Lord, many will say. That means many people. This is Jesus teaching us, saying on judgment day, there's going to be many people standing before God that were religious and spiritual, but were lost. Because look at the next verse. Look at verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. This morning, if you're saved, if you belong to Christ, you're going to hear the words, come ye blessed of my Father. If you're lost, if you don't belong to Christ, you're going to hear the words, I never knew you. Listen, you're not my property. You don't belong to me. Depart from me into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I wish later on when you read it, you'd think about what I just tried to show you. The thing that amazes me, I'll tell you it one more time. Many are going to be that way. But I thought I did this and I did this and I did this. But you never placed your faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has died for your sins and was buried in the tomb and rose again. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 13. David said unto him, to whom belongest thou? And whence art thou? And he said, I'm a young man of Egypt. Who do you belong to? This question can be phrased this way. Who do you belong to? How about this? What company do you keep? Acts 4:23 says, and being let go, they went to their own company. They went to their own company. In other words, there was a crowd that they called their own. I belong to this group of people. Listen closely. Where is your chosen company? When you can pick your own company, where do you go? When you're let, look, let me phrase it this way. When you're let go and you can go anywhere you like, where do you go? Then that's your company. I like to hear Christians testify. I'm the happiest when I'm with God's people. I like to hear Christians say, I love to be with God's people. By this thou shalt know that thou art passed from death unto life because you love God's people. There's something wrong with a Christian that doesn't like church. I'm talking about when people just endure it. Well, I go, but that's it. All right, whatever. When it's that, when it's painful, come to church, something's wrong. When you're singing the songs of Zion and hearing the Word of God and being with God's people and you can't enjoy it, something's wrong. Bad wrong. Remember this. Satan can only destroy your life when he finds you trespassing on his premises. Be careful, Christian. Keep off the devil's premises. Stay out of the stinking bars. Stay out of the nightclubs. Stay away from the places where sin is. Only go places where Jesus is welcome. I'd hate to be welcome in a place where Jesus isn't welcome. You mean I can come in, but Jesus can't? He lives inside me, so I'm going to force him to go into a place where he's not welcome. That's garbage. That's how come you can be saved and your life a mess. Because you can trespass on the devil's premises if you want to. Be careful, Christian. Keep off. David said unto him, to whom belongest thou? Who's your crowd? How about I phrase the question this way this morning? To whom does your tongue belong? Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. A few verses later in Ephesians, you hear these in Ephesians 5. But fornication, that's sex outside of marriage, and all uncleanness, that's immoral living, or covetousness, that's covetousness in relationship to immorality, or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Christian, listen this morning. If you're Christ's, if you belong to God, and you've had your heart washed in the blood of the Lamb, you can be sure he washed your mouth also. He didn't just wash your heart. I told you this before. When I got saved, I had to work. It took me 4 days to work at getting rid of this, the filthy mouth I had. It took me 4 days. I had other problems, but that was the first thing God touched my heart about, and it wasn't a one-day or two-day issue. I said, dear God, help me with my filthy sewage mouth. When your dad looks at you and says, son, you cuss a lot. You cuss a lot. Now, that was the first thing God touched my... Did I have other things that I had to get out of my life? Yes, I did, but my cussing had to go. God touched my heart about that. And watch this, Christian, I'll say it again. If Jesus washed your heart in his blood, you can be sure he washed your mouth also. Who does your tongue belong to? How about this? 1 Samuel 30, verse 13. Now I'm kind of just trying to rephrase the question and get us thinking about it. 1 Samuel 30, 13. And David said to him, to whom belongest thou? How about I phrase the question this way? Who is your teacher? If you're a child of Satan, then you're an enemy of God, and you're going to despise godly and spiritual things. And at the best, you're going to endure them. That's why there ought to be some enjoyment as a Christian. I'm not talking about church now. I'm talking about where you enjoy being a Christian. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I have a relationship with the Lord. I'm glad he's with me all the time. I'm glad I can talk to him anytime. I'm glad he never leaves me. And there's got to be some enjoyment there. And when you never enjoy it, something's wrong. Bad wrong. Like, you've been sentenced to Christianity? You ever think about that? Yeah, I'm saved on my way to heaven. It never clicks? Are you kidding me? There ought to be some personal enjoyment just between you and the Lord, and you're glad for what God's done for you and what he's given you. Who is your teacher? If you're a child of God and you belong to Christ, remember this. Acts 4:13 says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Christianity teaches a man to be the best husband. Christianity teaches an employee to be the best employee. Christianity teaches a son to be the best son they can be. Christianity, having Jesus inside of you, teaches a daughter to be the best daughter she can be. If you're taught of Christ in your private time with the Lord, then Christian, can I just ask you this? Do you have a communion with the Christ that saved you? Do you ever talk with him like a friend? Do you ever pour out your soul to him? Do you ever tell him when you're scared? Do you ever tell him when you're lonely? Do you talk to him? He's with you all the time. And if you don't, could I just ask you a question this morning? Why? Why? I fear as a pastor when I watch people live and there's nothing in their life about Christ. You can only ask people if they're saved one time. You know what I mean? I don't, every time I see you, are you saved? You'd get sick of that. But if I care about you, but when it's just all there's when there's nothing spiritual there, then yeah, I'll ask you one time if you're saved, amen? And then I'll take your word for it because I'm not God. But I hurt for a Christian when there's nothing there. Do you understand? And I'm just like, Lord, if they're saved, please help them enjoy being a Christian. Help them enjoy being saved. Or if they're lost, then show them someday in a sermon. Touch their heart about their condition and show them, Lord, because I can't. I'm not God. Amen? You're taught of Christ in your private time with the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 13. It says, to whom belongest thou? Who do you belong to? If you're Christ this morning, could I just encourage you? Then obey Him. Then obey Him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And you don't love any more than you obey. That's the same thing true with a child or the parent. And it's the same thing true with a Christian to his God. I only love as much as I obey. It never goes past that. This morning, if you belong to Christ, could I encourage you? Then love Him. If I just ask, I just love this question. You don't have to do what I do. I understand that. I try to be an example to you, and I try to put things out there that you get a hold of. But when was the last time you and the Lord, and you just looked up to God, and you just said, Lord, I love you. I love you. Help me. I don't love you like I should. But Lord, I love you. Help me love you more. When was the last time you asked God that or told God that? That's a good thing for every Christian to talk to God. I love you. If you're Christ this morning, if you belong to Christ, then could I encourage you to trust Him? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. If you belong to the Lord this morning, could I encourage you to trust Him? And if you belong to Christ this morning, to whom belongest thou? If you belong to Him, then follow Him. Then follow Him. If you belong to Satan, could I just encourage you this morning? Get away from him. Run from him. Run to the cross. He's going to forsake you one day. And one day when you're standing before judgment, he's not going to stay with you. He's going to leave you to die and be cast into hell. He's a horrible master to serve, and he never lets his prisoners go until judgment day, and he lets them go to hell. If you belong to Satan this morning, then run to the cross. Place your faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. 1 Samuel 30, verse 13, and David said to him, to whom belongest thou? Who do you belong to? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this truth, the question. Lord, a searching question. Lord, I wish, please, for us to apply this to our lives. And Lord, as we belong to you, you saved us to serve you, then help us to do so, please. I just need to ask the question. You say, preacher, I don't know if I died if I'd go to heaven. I don't have the peace of God in my heart that I'm his child, but I wish I did. Nobody looking? Is there anybody like that? You say, preacher, I don't know if I died if I'd go to heaven. You just slip up your hand where you're at. I'm not saying it to embarrass you. Then Christian, I'll ask you this question one more time. Who do you belong to? If you belong to Christ, he saved you to serve him. That's all.